640 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. So, you know, it's kind of interesting. Some of the little things that have gotten tucked into this bill that was passed to, you know, avert the government shutdown. You know, the one about the fee to compensate or punish people who give out the phone records or seek the phone records of the senators. Like, that's a weird one. I haven't really dug into that one enough, just kind of read the headlines. But the stuff related to THC and hemp is, I mean, earth-shattering. It is amazing, some of the stuff that went into this. So I wanted to talk with somebody who's very intimately familiar with all this, Michelle Salzman, our state representative for District 1, and a dear friend. Michelle, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Well, good morning. It's good to be here.
So, yeah, great to have you. Let's talk about this. What happened on Monday? By my read, you had a kind of a, call it a loophole, call it a gray zone, whatever you want to do, in a bill that passed in 2018, the Farm Bill, made it possible to have a bunch of THC and THC-derived products on the marketplace, like the little drinks that have THC that you see at the Publix or whatever.
But not on purpose.
Right, right. It inadvertently allowed that. And so we had this massive proliferation. And now this new bill has completely shut that off. So let's start from the beginning. What did the bill do then, and what's changed?
Well, initially that bill was made for farming. Mm-hmm. The bill was passed for farming. It gave all the rules and regulations about how to farm hemp. It did not get into specifics on consuming it because it wasn't meant to make hemp consumable. But you know us Americans, we love to turn everything into something else. We want to supersize it, add this. You know, we'll turn anything into something.
If George Washington Carver can find 10,000 uses for peanuts, by gum, we can find a way to make hemp into THC and get people high on their drinks.
That's what we did. That's what we did. We synthetically alter THC. That is what is happening all across the world. It's becoming synthetically altered, which means that it's a hemp-derived THC that is legal because there was nothing making it illegal. So manufacturers, you know, scientists, the super smart people found a way to turn it into a consumable product. But not only did they do that, they kept making it stronger and stronger and changing the compound. And now you got Delta 8, Delta 9, you've got all these different variances. They were really brilliant about it. And so now you have a legal recreational marijuana that's happened all across the United States. And I'm talking, these are the things that you see when you go to a gas station and they, you know, the beverages or the vape pens or, you know, it says 1,000 milligrams of THC. Yeah, it's the problem with that, though. I know it's going to be illegal through this bill, but the problem with that, because it was not intended to be a consumable product, there was no regulation, no end-of-line testing, no nothing. So a lot of these products you were buying from the gas station were hemp grown on the side of a road with pesticides or from China or some other third-world country with no real idea of what is actually inside that product. So you have a whole group of Americans that are just buying this stuff. Now, some of it is grown properly, Andrew. I'm not saying that everybody's a bad actor, but the problem was it was the wild, wild west out there. There was no regulation at all. So that's why you see all these head shops every couple of blocks, you know, with the marijuana leaves on, you know, banners outside, because they were able to, by federal government law, they were able to do this because they synthetically altered the hemp product.
See, I will confess, having like such a low level of interaction with the drug culture of any kind, I really didn't even know all of that. I mean, I kind of read in preparation for our interview, but because of you saying, hey, we should talk about this, because I kind of mentioned it in passing the other day, I learned all this. And like, here's what I thought, okay, as the ignorant, you know, Andrew McKay, I thought that all the hemp shops were basically selling the medical marijuana. That's the place where you go to get your medical marijuana stuff filled. I didn't even realize, even though I had seen it in the stores and I heard about the vape pens, there was a part of me that said, well, obviously they can't just be buying it off the shelves. No, they're just buying it off the shelves like they really, really are.
So I had, I chair Housing, Ag, and Tourism, and I had two Republicans file two separate bills to regulate hemp last session. And I was like, I went to the speaker. I was like, whose bill do you want to move? Because these two, you know, I'm not going to choose. And speaker was like, well, I don't want to move any of them, you know. And I was like, well, okay, that's fine. And he didn't want to move any of them because he didn't want to make the choice either. He was like, we got to figure this out. So we had to pause and say, what are we really going to do? Because we actually did pass a bill that regulated hemp, made it pretty much illegal. And we sent it to the governor's desk and he vetoed it. The governor vetoed the bill because it was too strenuous. Mm-hmm. It would have put a majority of the businesses that are involved in this in Florida out of business. And Florida has one of the largest hemp manufacturer distributors in the nation here in the state. And that company in itself has a lot of economic power. You don't want to ruin the machine. So the problem the legislature had was we as a elected body across the nation empowered, created this system, that this economy, and then we were just going to literally crumble it overnight with hundreds of thousands of jobs, billions of dollars of revenue. So it was a challenge. We were like, how do we fix this problem? So I said, well, hemp isn't even real in the first place. Why don't we just do a work group? We'll create a special work group. We'll pick people out of the legislature. We'll sit down and we will publicly, with every single component of this market, we will have that conversation and we're going to figure out what in the world we really do need to do. And I'm going to tell you, at least half of the House members that were on this panel, including myself, said publicly, I can't believe this is real. I had no idea you could actually get high off of this stuff. This is crazy.
Right.
We have to fix it. We've got to put guardrails. We can't just have this stuff out. I mean, kids are eating it. The number of poison control phone calls from overdose on marijuana is astronomical. The number of ER visits is astronomical because they bring these packaged products home that look like Skittles or gummy bears. They set it on their counter, and then their three-year-old thinks it's candy. They eat it all, and now we have an overdose situation.
Just to put it in perspective, because I know people might be just tuning in, the law that ended the shutdown that passed is going to, when it goes into effect in 2026, is going to make about 95% of the $28 billion U.S. retail hemp market illegal. Because it will, like right now, a hemp-derived gummy, has maybe 2.5 to 10 milligrams of THC, or the derived THC products.
Or more, 1,000. You can
right,
get well, it with 1,000
No, you're right. But this sets a limit at 0.4 milligrams per container.
That's correct.
Which is almost nothing by comparison with what's there now. And if all these products are based on the high concentration, it is going to make all of it. Okay, so back to you're talking about the working group, talking about what we do now. Where does this leave us and where do we go as Florida?
Well, let me get back to the overdose thing because I want to make it clear. I don't want to mislead the audience. When I say overdose, you can't actually overdose on THC. The problem is there's not enough scientific evidence behind what happens when you have too much, where you overconsume. Like when you eat too much food, you throw up. You're not going to die from it, but you're sick. So when you eat too much THC or a child consumes all of this THC, we don't know what really it does to the body over time. So you have to take them to the ER. They're already, you know, they're sick. They don't feel well. It's a bad scenario. You feel like crap. So you've got to have fluids. You've got to be monitored for days. So while we know you're not going to necessarily die, we don't know what it's going to do to you.
I mean, a kid's not expecting, or a parent's not expecting that reaction is the point.
Right. So it's important but it costs the Floridians millions of dollars a year in medical issues because they were pointed towards kids, maybe not necessarily on purpose, but they wanted everybody to go, ooh, that looks fun. I want to eat that. I want to try that. So we were trying to rein all of that in at the state level without completely putting the businesses out of business because of the last veto. Remember, we passed something.
Right.
It would have removed recreational marijuana, which is what hemp-derived THC is, except there's no end-of-line testing, so you're smoking carcinogens and all kinds of really bad things. That's why you see a lot of people getting really sick from the vapes, because they're not necessarily vaping clean stuff. They're vaping whatever it was that somebody grew on the side of the road that used a chemical change, and now it's now you can all of a sudden put it in your beverage.
So for this, so with this law going into place, I mean, you know, the president signed it. You know, we're done. Does this wipe out the all? I mean, does this mean all of those shops go away because in Florida it's a federal crime?
Yes. So that means that they did my job for me. And I'm going to tell you, I got so many text messages. They're like, oh, my God. I was like, no, please, somebody regulate it, because it is such a complex market. I mean, you had the beverages alone. You had the three-tier system argument. You had the alcohol, tobacco, and firearm argument.
Yeah.
You had the FDAX, which is Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services argument. Like, there were so many regulatory arms put in place because nobody was really supposed to have to do this. Hemp wasn't supposed to be edible. It was supposed to be a textile.
Yeah, you make rope and tents out of it and stuff, right?
Exactly. And at the same time, there were some really valid arguments. There are some great companies out there that use that as an opportunity to make a holistic hemp-derived THC product. So people that didn't want to eat all that extra stuff that comes, the additives that come into the stuff you get from the medical cannabis, they could just have it from this specifically where they grew it in a lab environment, and it wasn't something that you couldn't trust. They did end-of-line testing. You know, some companies actually did take it seriously and do it right. And those good actors, those were the ones we were trying to figure out, how do we not hurt them? And don't forget, I mentioned, we have a lot of industry in Florida that ships it out across the United States. So the places that are allowed to have recreational marijuana, those places should still be able to have the hemp-derived THC beverage that's on the, you know, that's on the shelf. So they're going to have a whole, I mean, it's going to be such a huge,
it's going to be a mess, yeah.
Market.
And because we already have the problem of it's legal in places even though it's federally illegal, right? It's a Schedule One, even though there's all kinds of places where it's recreationally legal, and that has created banking issues and all kinds of other problems. That same, as I understand it, that same level of conflict is now going to come into place for all of these THC-derived things. And so in places like Florida, where recreational is not legal, I assume they'll have to go away. In places like Colorado, it's going to be a bit of a question. Well, anyway, I really appreciate, Michelle, that you spent some time to explain all this to you. But before we let you go, I did want to give you a chance to talk about, you've got a food drive, food giveaway going on tomorrow. Is that right?
I do. Tomorrow morning, you can start lining up as early as you want, but at 7:30 in the morning, we will start the line. We started out with 300 families worth of food. So for a week of groceries with fresh produce, meats, and all that, and it's Thanksgiving, so you get that plus a Thanksgiving meal for your family to include a whole chicken. We do chicken, not turkey, because the majority of people that are in that situation don't have an oven that works. And so, I mean, I lived poor. I know the turkeys were a joke most of the time, but a chicken, you can put it in the toaster oven. You can chop it up. You can make that fresh meat out of it. It's got cranberry sauce, stuffing, and green beans, and even fresh pies. Pensacola Christian College donated the pies. Butcher Shop donated all of the meat. So we started out with 300, and then we had a lady who lost her son to gun violence last year, and she wanted to do something in his name. And so she called us and said, would you mind if I gave you, you know, money to sponsor a few meals for Thanksgiving in honor of my son who passed away? So we exponentially increased that number she gave us, and we increased it by 100. So now 400 families, not 300, are going to get everything that I just mentioned.
Oh, that's
and
great.
She'll be able to come out and put maybe a flyer. I told her she can put a flyer in there if she wants to share the story of her son. How meaningful is that? So
that's
cool.
Great.
But tomorrow morning, Marcus Point Baptist Church starts at 7:30. We will go until it's gone. And from what I understand, it's going to be gone pretty quickly because the need is so high.
So Marcus Point Baptist Church tomorrow morning.
That's right.
Get in line whenever, but the actual giveaway starts at, you said, 7:30. Is that what you said?
7:30. You can walk up.
We are totally out of time. Up against the traffic break again. I love you. So thank you so much for the time this morning. I'll see you at Egg Fest over the weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon. Thank you so much for explaining all this to us.
Absolutely. Yeah. Take care.